I live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street, on the 11th floor. I believe in taking care of myself, in a balanced diet, in a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser. Then a honey almond body scrub. And on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub. Then I apply an herb mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion. There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman, some kind of abstraction, but there is no real me, only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, June 16th, 2005. And you guessed it, this would be Newsreel, your daily report as while counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And we are winning in that war. Rant Media is taking a big stand. It's a huge stand. It's almost a tree stand. But, you know, we're not quite to that point yet to take tree stands for free speech. But right now, we're just taking sort of a virtual stand, but a stand nonetheless for free speech, and we're doing it today. And just by listening, you are too. You right now are probably going to be called an info-terrorist just for listening to this program. And just as well, you know, since they've already painted you with that brush, why don't you just go the rest of the way and head along to my live journal so you can read all the news stories to keep up along with me to make sure that I'm not, in fact, lying to you. That's why this is a news show. It's a truth show, and I'm being at least as honest as I can possibly be. To get to my live journal, you can go to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to read along with all my mad scribblings and see what's going on in the world. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa also carries this signal, and you yourself are free to You're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can glue it to the wall. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ways you can distribute this. Does anybody have any ideas for novel concepts of how to distribute this show that we're not even thinking of right now? Well, if you do have any ideas, you should email me, and that way I have something to say every time I think of that, because I'm running out of concepts of how different ways to distribute the show. We've covered shortwave. I think we've talked about UHF. Maybe those FM broadcasters, you could roadcast it. That'd be cool. Driving around in your car, if you've got an iPod and you're feeding it to your, say, your car stereo, you could may as well get an FM broadcaster and broadcast it to everybody's car stereo. I guarantee it's pretty hard to catch you. I mean, as you're driving through traffic, you just overpower other people's FM stations, forcing them to see the truth. Hey, that's a pretty good idea, actually. But I'm really sure that will nail you into the terrorist circuit. So let's get in straight into some feedback. Dear Sean. Hello. I mean no offense by this, but you really need to refine your selection of background music for Newsreel. Now, this is the kind of stuff that Sim is just going to go all over. I know you like industrial, but a lot of it has really harsh, high-pitched noises. And these moments of high-pitched ringing while trying to listen to Newsreel break my concentration, and they can get incredibly annoying. Maybe I'm the only one with a problem with this, but I just thought I would throw that out there. And that's from Rip Drive. Okay, well, you know, there's probably a few other people, but if this is a big issue, I try to mix it so that it's fairly quiet. You know, so you haven't got much of a problem there with the sounds and all the rest of it. But if I'm not doing a good enough job, I am sorry. I will try to maybe drop the volume in the background. If people think there's no problem, please counter this. Maybe buddy's got shitty speakers. I don't know. But if you think the music levels are a bit off and you think they should be quieter in the background, let me know, because I don't know if you don't tell me. On to another piece of mail. Dear Sean, what do you think about child protective services? I think they're a great idea. Is it right for the state to decide if the child's life is in danger and take custody away from the parents? What would you do if it were the girl, if you were this girl's parent? A scary thought, I know. Well, it was a link to a story where they were taking kids away from this, you know, kid's parents. So, it's kind of like this, and that was from BlitzCon. Well, okay, my opinion on the whole child protective services thing is that it's very powerful, okay? It's a very, very powerful service, and it should exist. There should be child protective services, because if there's not child protective services, you've got cases where you have these sick bastards having kids and then beating the shit out of them. You know what I mean? It's not very cool, and it doesn't do very much for the child. So when you think about what's best for the child, having something like child protective services around is a good idea. Now, the flip side to that is where you have the chances for abuse. Now, if you hear about a child on the street corner and stuff like that, blah, 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 you hear about people beating their kids. If you don't have child protective services, where do you go? What do you do? Does this turn into vigilante action? No, you can't have that. So I think that, yes, child protective services are important, but I think that perhaps some of the power they have may be corrupted, and perhaps they may make bad calls from time to time. I think it's a good idea with a bad implementation most of the time, but up here in Canada, usually child protective services does a good thing. Dear Sean, lots of feedback today, eh? Holy cow, I got even more coming after this. Dear Sean, quite often I hear you rave about the idea of being able to upload your brain into either internet or cyborg body. Oh, hot. Actually, I wonder if I completely uploaded my brain, I think I would be a robot then, if it was a total brain upload, because then there's no real biomass. If it was flesh and machine, then it would be a cyborg. But being as it's just a machine with a configuration downloaded onto it, then with a brain pattern, then that would make me a robot. But anyway, first, I'm assuming that you're not referring to transplanting your brain into a machine. No, I'm not. But that'll work too. Whatever works, you know. I'll just be like, yeah, you betcha. We'll just do whatever it takes. That would make me a cyborg. But rather, extracting the data from your brain and downloading it into a computerized brain. Now, I'm almost finished that book I was reading. That was that one I was talking about before. This one. I'll finish this letter first. So here's my somewhat ghost in the shell question. Oh, I love it. Do you believe that it's really you being transferred? Because I've read and put together, it's more like a copy and paste job. It seems more to me that what gets downloaded into the cyborg brain is just a copy of you, while the real you is destroyed or left in your original brain. Do you believe that your actual consciousness or soul transfers over to the cyborg brain along with your memories and data? Jesus, you know, last week I was getting questions about cross-dressing and drag queens. This week I'm getting questions about, you know, consciousness and cyborg data. For this same reason, I vow to never use my transporter technology, a la Star Trek, because I personally believe that my scenario true self is broken down and destroyed to the point of which of being dead to point A, and is merely an exact copy of me that arrives point B, and it's all fascinating technology. You can see where lots of spiritual and philosophical questions are raised. Curious to hear your thoughts, the Grey Ghost. Okay, now, here's my take on this issue. Now, if it could be argued, there's people who have said that I am, in fact, currently immortal, something I don't really adhere to, because I've got so much stuff online and so much media online. As long as the internet exists, probably on some corner of somebody's computer somewhere, there's going to be one of my rants floating around, and therefore I will never die. This same notion is brought about by, you know, people who are writers and they write books and they seek immortality through memory. Now, that to me is not immortality. Immortality to me means, you know, you go to sleep and you wake up again. It's sort of like going to bed at night. Now, actually doing a carbon copy of my brain and putting it into a computer, no, I do not think that that is immortality. Absolutely not. I do not think that's an effective replicant is what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a replicant. So what Omni was talking about back in the day, what a lot of these guys are talking about, which is why I'm excited about nanotechnology. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts. And this letter was from the Grey Ghost. So nanotechnology back in the day, according to like Omni and a few other mags like that, we're talking about how what they do is they would inject these nanites into your head, micro machines that would get inside your brain. They would copy a neuron and replace it so that, let's see, as in the process of copying it, it replaces just that one neuron. You see what I mean? So suddenly when all the neurons fire, that one neuron fires with the organic neurons and it produces the same signals and brain patterns and all the rest of it. Well, what you do is you put on this like apparatus, like a helmet or something like that, and you keep putting more and more of these synthetic neurons in until eventually your brain is completely synthetic. So it's a process of like, well, it's kind of like the plastination kind of thing that they did with the bodies in Russia, and they had those displays of bodies that were all plastinized and stuff like that. It's sort of the same concept, only with nanites, you know, replacing all the neurons in your brain. And then after you're done, you could basically, you know, kind of shut the brain down more or less by shutting the body down. And because they're synthetic and not organic, you'd be able to speed them back up again and be able to be good to go. Now, some people would say, well, you know, what you've done is you very slowly killed yourself and very slowly made a copy of yourself. And I would say that in order for there to be a copy, there has to be an original and a copy. You know what I mean? And if you have a digital reproduction of, like, you look at, like, say, music or anything else. If you have a digital copy of music that is exactly the same, it should, I believe, be indistinguishable from the other one. Now, if you have a copy that... This is the difference between copying and transforming. By the process I just described using the nanites, I have transformed my brain into a machine brain. When people talk about the soul, I like the soul. It's a nice concept. I've seen no physical evidence of it. I know there's the 12 grams that show up when you die, and that energy leaves the body and all the rest of it. But you know what? If there is a soul and I do this, all I've done is killed myself. You see what I'm saying? Now, if I do this technology, all it does is kill me. That's the worst case scenario, is you die. But you've got this machine that acts exactly like you, and perhaps if you were to do it one night, you'd just wake up one morning and you would be the machine. Now, there's a lot of other thoughts that go with this, but personally, I'm not too sure the soul exists. I think there could be some issues with life energy and chi and stuff like that. I'm not too sure about how that works and the spark of life and consciousness, but I would ask Grey Ghost, you know, when you think that all this is about copying and stuff like that, and people who would argue with me, I sometimes would, you know, whenever I get really, really, you know, introspective, I think about where I am actually located. Where are you? You know, you as a person, where are you? Like, if I cut, like, let's say we got Bob, and I cut Bob's legs off. Is Bob still Bob? Yeah, he's Bob. You know, and then I cut his arms off, he's still Bob. Put him in the ocean, he's still Bob. You know, but the thing is if you keep cutting, right, you cut off his head and then hook his head up to machine so his head keeps, you know, alive and stuff, he's still Bob. You cut away all the flesh off his face, he's Bob. Isolate just his brain, he's still Bob. Even though he can't communicate and can't see anything, he is still Bob. Now, if I cut away the long-term memories of Bob out of his brain, is he still Bob? You see, now this is where, when you start messing with the brain, where does that happen? So let's look at the brain like a computer, okay? You've got your long-term storage of your hard drive, right? That's where your long-term memory is. You got your RAM, which is your ability to chew gum and walk at the same time. And you got your various, you know, CD-ROMs and data input, like keyboards and stuff like that, that come in the way of your senses. Now, if you take away all the stuff and you get right down to the chip, when you get right down to the actual processing power, the spark of life of where consciousness occurs, there's something going on there that I'm not too sure of, and that's where I think the idea of the soul is. And I think it has something to do with electricity. It has something to do with the way the body bioelectrically creates current and then circulates within the body. This goes through with all the chi training I've talked about and stuff like that. And I think it can be replicated. I think it is possible to take the designs of bio, and we're a ways away from even thinking about this, but what I think is in the future, they're going to come up with a way to replicate biorhythms in machines. And when that happens, then we're going to actually start to see synthetic life forms. And then those of us out there who are wogs and are willing to embrace and evolve, adapt or die, those of us who are willing to evolve into the synthetic will do so. Now, some people say, Sean, that's really crazy Star Trek Borg kind of talk. And I say, you betcha. You betcha. But let's pretend the Borg from Star Trek didn't look like they were monsters. And let's pretend they all look like they were just super slick anime creatures. Would they really be such a bad race? I don't know. You know, there's certain advantages to the Borg. They look kind of cool. I think they could look cooler. I think the people who did the costume design for that race should really, you know, get their shit together. But if you were to come up with a Borg race, do you think they'd even vaguely look human? I mean, you'd just be adapting alien cultures and evolving. It's like a constantly evolving organism. Very, very exciting stuff. So, yes, in answer to your question, do I think that a photocopy is the original? No, absolutely not. But if you take the original and transform it, then, you still have the original. It's just the original transformed. And that's something that I've tried to wrap my brain around for a long time, Gray. And even still, I mean, this is an exciting thing to read about. That book I was talking about, Richard Morgan's Altered Carbon, I'm almost done that bad boy. I've only got about a quarter of the book left to do. And let me tell you, that is a sexy book. Everyone should check it out. It's probably one of the better cyberpunk science fiction novels I've come across. They got some space travel. They got some very, very groovy stuff in there. I'm liking, this is the first book that's grabbed me in a really long time. And it's basically, I would say it's about as cool as Snow Crash, maybe even a little cooler, because it's just some of the concepts in there, stuff that I've never, ever heard of before. And I don't know about any of his other books, but if his other books are as good as this one, Richard Morgan, then I'm probably going to turn into a screaming otaku fan, which is great, because I love being fans of stuff. There's nothing better than being a fan of some things. You know, you're excited, you wait for the next book, and you get that. You get the wonderful endorphin rush of actually reading, you know, this stuff, and you can discuss concepts and ideas. And like Stephen King said, writing is a lot like telepathy. So it's good to, you know, run around in somebody else's head for a while, see what they think about the future. Because authors, you know, that's the highest praise you can give them, as you say, wow, check out your mind. You know, that's the best thing you can do. More feedback. Dear Sean, on the subject of Kill Anna, I think it's a bad idea to take them by force. They will flee, regroup into hiding, and make it hard for us to find them. Good point. Yeah, they'll pull a Vietnamese mortar team trick. My suggestion is to infiltrate them, to pretend to be one of them. We'll gain their trust by giving them emotional support in order to become one of their sisters slash brothers. Then we pretend to die slowly, waste and waste away, all in front of their eyes, while posting on their forums describing every agonizing step along the way. Also, don't forget to blame anorexia. This will still have a freaking huge... Don't forget to blame... Oh, yes, while on your thing, you blame anorexia for all the pain and suffering here. This will have a huge, freaking huge impact on them. Will sure as hell scare them into eating. Just my suggestion. Mauza. Now that... You see, that's why, you know, we pay the wogs, the big bucks. Mauza, that's brilliant, buddy. Good move. I'm liking that one a lot. So you sign up onto one of these forums, for those of you wogs out there who want to do some covert operations to help us with the slaughter and extermination of Anna. If what you do is you infiltrate and then you, you do some role-playing and you fake your own death. Slowly, painfully, practice your writing skills. Talk about all the horrible things. Look at the symptoms. Look at what happens to you when you know, I don't actually know what the symptoms of starving to death are. But then you could, like, cut back on your water. People are like, no, you're doing it wrong, you know, and you slowly die. And then you just kick off, you know, ditch the IP. And then if you were really, really clever, you could even fake some kind of an obituary and something like that. You know, you're not really hurting anybody by doing that, but you could do a link to an online obituary. Show that there. Make sure that whenever you run a sting like this, you need to have basically three people involved. You need to have your person who's faking. You need to have the person who's already infiltrated first. So you have the initial person gets in. They're not going to be the faker. They're going to be the one that monitors everybody else who monitors the faker. Then you have the faker show up, and then you have the other person show up who is the counter to the faker. So that way all three are on the same side. So what happens is the faker starts faking this stuff. The guy who is monitoring the crowd sort of hangs back and inserts ideas and memes and certain conversations that stimulate the conversation in a certain path. That way they can kind of guide it by being very subversive. Then you have the guy who's the counter, and every time he does this, every time the counter, the one who says, well, you know, the guy who's doing it, you're doing it wrong, you're an idiot, and he totally rips. And that way the two, the pro and the against the victim, right, who's all this is all, you know, planned, everybody's all probably even in the same room, they do these really insightful discussions and all this kind of stuff. And because we're wogs and because we're getting enough brain nutrition, we'll probably run circles around these Anna bastards because, you know, the brain is the most cannibalistic organ in the human body. So they're not thinking clearly. So right out of the gate, you're going to be able to run circles around them intellectually. Okay, and just because they're not eating properly, which is unfortunate, and the whole goal here is to get these people eating lecithin and shit like that, so that we can keep their brains up so they can rationalize about what's going on. So once you do that, you can actually control the entire you could do it as a single if you think you've got what it takes to pull it off on your own. A three person unit could pull it off. That'd be very, very cool. I think it's a good idea. I really enjoy that particular suggestion. Mauza, good work. You. More feedback. Dear Sean, it is I, Anorexic Pillow. I emailed you a lot, and I may have become annoying. You know. But I just wanted to let you know that you have changed my life a lot. You've taught me more than anyone else. My dad has flipped out on me once again and may be moving with my mom. Therefore, I will not have any more internet. I have downloaded and burnt to disk a lot of your stuff so that I can stay insane while I'm offline. Well, anyway, Sean, I just wanted to thank you, and I'll be finding access points throughout the summer to get patrolling and season 2 episodes. Hope you keep at it. I'll try to make it next rant meek and shake your hand if I'm able to find out when it is. I'll be buying your book once it comes out, but again, hopefully I find out when it comes out. Sorry, this is long. I will get back online ASAP, and when I do, I will contact you. We will do lunch sometime. Bye. And that was from Anorexic Pillow. I don't want to have lunch with anybody who's Anorexic Pillow. Well, actually, Anorexic Pillow. If you're anorexic, I do want to have lunch with you. No, but seriously, there's a lot of folks who send me folk emails like this, you know, where they got to go, and I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's okay, because you're not going anywhere. Even if you go with your parents, where are they going to move to where a server can't get to you? You know, where are you going to get to? You're not even going offline because your house is moving. People seem to think, oh, well, you know, if I move, I'm gonna lose all this. No, we're everywhere. We're like in the atmosphere. They can't get away from us, man. Nobody can. Well, of course, that implies that, you know, we have you and stuff like that. But honestly, we're always there. All you got to do is just throw the electrons through the screen and we're on the other side of the mirror waiting. That's the whole purpose of the WOG movement, is acceptance. And you determine your own level of involvement. Absolutely. And other people determine their level of involvement with you. But by becoming, you know, a little bit more noble, becoming a little bit less selfish, each of us can add to the collective and make the whole directional chaos process move forwards towards, I don't know, something, Mecca, cool, Star Cruisers, I don't know, but the future, a hope for a better future, and that is what we're about. So you know what, I'm sorry that you're going through some stuff and you got to be moving. You obviously sound like you don't want to move, but don't worry, man, because we're still going to be here. All you got to do is just take out that Wi-Fi finder, and you'll be able to see the server flashing on those little blue lights. Into the news. In slavery news from Thunder Spuddy. You ready for this one? Some companies are cracking down on employees' off-duty behavior, raising questions about how far employers should go and policing what workers do in their own time. Now, the concept of a company telling me what I should do in my own time is absolutely out of fucking control. Okay, I've got to try to get through this article without foaming at the mouth because, oh my God, the fact that companies tell me I can't have piercings in my skin is just fucking unbelievable to me. I'm like, you cannot tell me what I can and cannot do in my body. Do you not realize that? Yes, we can, actually. No, you can't. Employees are being disciplined or fired for such behaviors as drinking on their own time, using competitors' products, and displaying political bumper stickers. No one tracks the number of such cases, but some workers' rights groups are concerned that the practice is on the upswing. Well, no shit it is, because no one's fighting back. The shock is that there's no legal protection. Wow, says Lewis Maltby of the National Work Rights Institute, the nonprofit based in Princeton, New Jersey, that focuses on employee rights. You can get fired for just having a bumper sticker the boss doesn't like. For example, at the Atlantic City Borga Hotel, Casino, and Spa, bartenders and waitresses can be fired if they gain more than 7% of their body weight. They are first given a 90-day unpaid suspension to lose the weight. Officers say it's a recent clarification of the company's appearance policy. We believe the policy in place is not legal and non-discriminatory. Oh, pardon me. We believe the policy is not only legal and non-discriminatory, it's also fair, spokesman Michael Facenda said in a statement. Now, when companies tell you how to look, how to think, how to act, how to dress, how much you should weigh, that is slavery. Okay? You have lost all individual freedoms at that point. Okay? Because if that is not the loss of individual freedoms, at what point do you determine what you are free? I mean, you should be free to do what you want with your own body, provided, you know, granted you're not destroying yourself, because that means you're sick and you should get help and la 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 la. But when you look at that, you go, holy crap. you know, when I personally would quit. If you're in a job where they won't let you do anything like that, quit. Find another job, you know. Maybe it'll hurt them, maybe it won't, but at least you'll still be able to keep some of your self-respect. I mean, that's important. You got to be able to respect yourself, look in the mirror and say, whoa, you know, I'm not a total loser over here. You know, I still have my self-respect, and at least I have control of what I want to do. That's interesting how we think of the workless people as the worthless people. Slavery has become a status symbol in our culture. We love the idea of being locked into slavery. We love the idea of working hard. And, you know, I put in extra hours in the office because I'm willing to go that extra mile. You missed your kid's birthday. Yeah, but I went that extra mile. You missed the soccer guy. I went the extra mile, though. Got to put food on the table. You know, well, I'm here to tell you. My dad hated his job. He came to home every day and just bitched about his job. And I hated my job when I got up and I got older. And you know what? I stopped doing my job. And maybe it was right, maybe it was wrong. A lot of people could stand on either side of the fence and debate my own moral, you know, conscience and whether or not I'm a good worker or all the rest of it. Some people say I'm a hardworking guy. Other people say I'm a bum. But you know what? That's the beautiful thing about being a WOG, because you don't give a shit what anybody else says about you. It's your own self-image and self-opinion that matters. Because at the end of the day, if you can't control your own self-image and your own self-opinion, then you really are enslaved. To care what other people think is to be controlled by them. You must not forget this. In Scientology victim news, now my buddy Tom. Have you had enough of Tom Cruise, is what the article says. Have you had enough of Tom Cruise? Has your opinion of him dropped, stayed the same, or gone up since he jumped on the Oprah Winfrey's furniture? An online poll through Entertainment Weekly's website shows 61% say they like Cruise less now. 3% say they like him more, and 36% say their view of him hasn't changed. Well, that's a pretty significant shift there. Meanwhile, was that a crack in the smile Katie Holmes has been wearing since hooking up with Cruise? Holmes seemed upset last week when David Letterman asked if there was a problem that she's 16 years younger than Cruise. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that make her old enough to be her dad? Oh. Holmes said that it never crossed her mind. Yeah, I'll bet. Holmes also didn't seem to appreciate Letterman pointing out how she's taller than Cruise. She stayed silent for a minute and then looked puzzled before finally saying she didn't know what Letterman was talking about. Cruise has refused to apologize for constantly talking about his love for Holmes. He said when he starts thinking about Holmes, things happen. Cruise says he wants to spend the rest of his life with Holmes. Well, you know, this wonderful puffy poo gossip piece here is beginning to show that people are starting to get sick of Tom Cruise's Scientology bullshit. And the reason why is because quite obviously when you look at you know, Tom Cruise and how he's acting and what he's done and the choices he's made ever since he was doing that shit at that dinner party with Nicole Kidman where he stood up on a table, started reading, you know, sexually explicit poetry, making Nicole, who's fucking royalty for crying out loud. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's certain celebrities that you look at, and I always look at celebrities as people. I always do, you know? Like Michael Jackson, that guy came back and he had a non-guilty verdict. Now, personally speaking, I never thought the guy was guilty. Honest to God. And this is something coming from a dude who wants to kill pedophiles. I don't think Michael Jackson was one. I never did. You'd be pretty hard-pressed to find a newsreel episode or anything anywhere where I said that I thought Michael Jackson was guilty, because I didn't. Because the guy is batshit, bonkers, wacko, marimba, insane. Okay, he's a psycho. But he's generally kind of a nice guy. He's a little simple. He's got some problems, got some issues. And I think in a lot of ways, he's probably about 6 years old psychologically. But when you look at his life, I mean, he never really had a childhood. All these child stars are super fucked up because they have no idea how to even exist. I mean, these people have so much money, they can make up their own rules every day for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? So you find people like that. When I found out that Nicole Kidman, who's hot, I mean, don't give me any shit. Nicole Kidman is hot, man. You know? I always thought she was pretty smoking. And she left Tom Cruise. I was like, good for you. That's one last person going to be sucked into the Scientology trap. And if you don't think Scientology was responsible for that, well, give your head a shake, because quite obviously it was. She won't come out and say that, but it was. Everybody knows that. And now, Tom, who I like, for the record, okay, I like Tom Cruise, is starting on his downward slope. This is where you're going to start to see it. This is the peak right here. Right here is the apex. Gradually now, his career will begin to come down. Further and further and further and further. Now, maybe they'll try to pass the torch off to Katie Holmes. And when you know, Tom Cruise goes and drops the ball or wakes up or has a complete and total mental breakdown, as Scientology causes people to have, you know, they'll just switch all the celebrity status over to Holmes and let Tom off by the wayside after they suck him dry of all the money and throw him in the gutter. Now, you know, me being the kind of guy who's ripped on Tom Cruise and his Scientology beliefs, Tom, if you ever hear this, you're welcome in my house, man. Just come on by. I'll put you up, you know, and we'll get you back on your feet. You'll be okay. Not to worry. You know, because it's going to be kind of sad, because I really do believe that Tom Cruise is on his last legs. It's going to be a slow, nasty fall from here, and it'll be all the way out. And, you know, the spectacles that they make. I mean, the guy's quite obviously become unstable. You know, it's really sad because he seems like a very nice guy, and I liked his films. You know, I did. But people forget that actors are just people. They're not gods. And quite obviously, well, Tom Cruise is owned, man. You can't tell me he's not. The guy, poor guy, I mean, he's. If you look at the kind of the psychological dependency training that they do in these sick, sick institutions of Scientology, you know, it's only a matter of time before he's really going to lose it. In obvious news, this is from BlitzCon. Touch on this. The Enslaver News, Thunderspud sent it in. The Scientology News, Foulware Touch sent that in to me. And in obvious news from BlitzCon, a recently published study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, if you're gonna, this is like, duh, shows that eating certain foods can lower your cholesterol levels just as well as taking statin drugs. Oh, look at that! Say no to drugs! Why? Don't eat McDonald's and then take some statin drugs and think that you're gonna be just fine. Why don't you just eat healthy food? This is the second study we've seen revealing that certain foods are as effective or even more effective than prescription drugs in regulating biochemical markers such as cholesterol levels in treating conditions such as chronic depression. Oh, wow, diet linked to depression. Check it out. In this particular study, researchers found that foods such as soy protein, tofu, various other soy products, plus almonds and cereal fiber, as well as plant sterols, can lower total cholesterol and especial LDL cholesterol better than a statin drug. Whoa, hey, who knew? That's why there's not a lot of very fat vegans. I haven't heard of a lot of vegans and vegetarians dropping dead of heart attacks and stuff. Now, this to me is so incredibly obvious, the fact that the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition has come out with this. I mean, I've got to cover it in the show because it is a significant, at least they've come out and they've admitted it in science. But quite obviously, if you're having depression and you're going through like maybe ADHD, look at your food. Most things can be solved with diet. Once again, this is no surprise at all to nutritionalists. Yeah, it's not a surprise because we've been yelling it through bullhorns for the last 10 years. We have known for a long time that if you want to have a healthy biochemistry and healthy cholesterol levels, then you have to turn to natural foods and adopt the strategies of natural health. We've also known that drugs are all but worthless compared to the healing power of foods. Which is true. You know how many foods have, like, healing properties that we can't even touch with drugs? I mean, exhibit A, garlic. Exhibit B, ginkgo. Thank you. Not to mention that ninja plum stuff I got. If you want to be healthy, you have to give up the standard of food available in America, such as manufactured foods, and replace them with natural whole foods, such as nuts and whole grains, fruits and vegetables, and then supplement your diet with nutritional supplements and superfoods. If you do that, you're going to greatly enhance your cardiovascular health. You're going to have normal cholesterol levels. It's basic cause and effect. It follows the law of biochemistry. If you eat the right foods, you can't help but to have healthy cholesterol levels. Ta-da! Now, just recently, I've had a chance to get into macrobiotics. Now, this can get kind of a little bit weird. Macrobiotics is like eating right for your region and all this kind of stuff. And I guess, you know, it's very involved because there's a lot of cooking involved there, and it does take a lot of time. So it's hard for people in the IT industry to get into macrobiotics unless you happen to have a cook. But if you are a rich bastard and you happen to get, you know, money and you want to get yourself a cook, get yourself a macrobiotic cook because you'll live forever, apparently, if you have one of these guys. I've had the opportunity and privilege to eat a bunch of macrobiotic food recently. And let me tell you, that's some good eating. Okay, I don't give a shit who you are. I've actually had it sampled out to a number of people who are hardcore, you know, tyrannosaur meat-eater types. And they're like, God damn, this is some good food over here. Yeah. You know, vegetarian food and vegan food and even macrobiotic food does not have to taste bad. As a matter of fact, of all the health food that's out there, for those of you who are like, oh, man, I would like to eat healthy, but the food just tastes like poo. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you want to give it a try, if you want to kind of move in that direction, and your last time you went to the Buddhist temple, you're finding that, whoa, you know, I don't know, I still feel like I'm eating lettuce. Well, you want to go check out the macrobiotic scene, because honest to God, man, they really do got some good grub going on there. And in the land of substitution, I think that macrobiotics would be a easier step than, say, oh, I don't know, going hardcore vegan right off the top. Now, when you look at this, everyone knows that you're supposed to eat healthy, right? You know that. I know that. But for some reason, we still insist on buying Coca-Cola. We still insist on poisoning our body with confectionaries. We still insist on eating manufactured foods like Pizza Pops and all these other, like, totally toxic foods we put into our body. And why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, it's a habit. You know, it takes a while. If you do the fast after 12 days, your palate resets itself. And if you try to have a Coke after a 12-day fast doing the Master Cleanser, baby, you ain't going to drink that Coke, okay? You can't get the bottle down. You can't. You'll start having stomach pains. It's really, really bad. Now, when you look at this on the other front, there's also, everyone, no one really talks about this, but it's a little known fact that there's all kinds of addictive drugs and chemicals that they put inside of food to what? To make them addictive. That's their entire policy, is to make people enslaved by using addiction as a weapon in the market war. Okay, that's what they're after. So when you see this, it's a hard road. It is a hard road to try to eat healthy. It's very inconvenient. You have to factor for it. You really do need to start keeping track of your time, because it is very, very difficult to do. But let me tell you, if you can do it, you will automatically see all these other little problems. That's usually the source cause. So if you look after your diet, you'll find that your ADHD goes away. Your depression goes away. You'll find that all your sleep problems go away. Your concentration is better. Your grades go up. Everything happens, especially if you're young. If you are under the age of, say, 21, and you are listening to this program, please, I would not advise doing the Master Cleanser fast until you're a little bit older. But what I will advise doing is doing a detox, and then try to get, if you're not going to be a Nazi for the rest of your life about your food, okay, if you're not going to freak out and be like, no, I must eat this, I must eat that, eat lots of food when you're young, because you're growing, okay? You can always lose weight when you're a little bit older. Eat tons. Your brain is developing. Your brain needs to have these different foods in order to develop properly. You should be reading lots. Stimulate your brain. Just as when you're young and you have lots of human growth hormone in your system, if you work out your muscles, you grow faster. Well, guess what happens when you work out your brain? Well, look at that. And the way you work out your brain, everyone, say it with me. Books. Okay. Into ghetto satellite news from Wyandi. Now, this is a really cool idea. Check this out. Plans are on the fast track to deploy a surplus Russian Orlan spacesuit this fall as a non-traditional satellite dubbed SuitSat. An amateur radio on the International Space Station, ARIS, project could become the most unusual amateur radio satellite ever orbited. Now, the ARIS U.S. proposal will provide an opportunity for schools to participate in the SuitSat enterprise to be launched during a spacewalk. SuitSat will carry an amateur radio transmitter that will send a voice greetings to commemorate the 175th anniversary of Russian's Bauman Moscow State Technical University. Other message possibilities remain under discussion. ARIS got permission from the ISS program office in May to go forward with the delivery of the SuitSat project, and schools will now have the chance to take part in what's being called the school spacewalk. ARIS International Chairman Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, says, I guess that must be his call sign or whatever, says the idea to have schools around the globe provide a page of artwork. The idea is to have schools around the globe provide a page of artwork that will fly inside the SuitSat? That's it? That's your plan? Now, this is a great example of a wonderful opportunity that they're fucking with, because no one really wants to get in there. You've got a spacesuit, right, that can extend the pressures of space and all that good stuff. And you have the ability and you've got the permission to take a payload, put it inside the spacesuit, and then throw it into orbit. And you want to stuff it full of art that people crumple up and stuff inside the suit, and that's your SuitSat, along with a transmitter beaking some, like, hi there, we are happy. Happy's 175th. Hi there, we are happy. Happy once. No, okay, you know what? That's cool that you're putting the suit up. Very cool. It's cool that you come up with the idea. It's cool to use a spacesuit as a satellite hull. I never thought of that. That's brilliant. But, you know, I would think that you're probably wasting this prime opportunity at this particular juncture in time and space to do something really cool with this rather than just put in a little transmitter and some crumpled up pieces of paper. Maybe I'm being, you know, hard on you, but I'd like to think that, you know, I could come up with something a little bit better to do than just that, than a bunch of crumpled up art, you know, really. Improvised satellites, very cool concept, though. Now, in solar plastics news, check this out. Buildings and laptops could one day be coated in plastic that generates electricity from sunlight, says an Australian organic chemist. Very cool. The vision in plastics The Cote Lars areas that provide quite cheap source of renewable energy, says Professor Andrew Holmes of the University of Melbourne's Bio 21 Molecular Science and Biotechnology Institute. You know, it'd be cool to work at a place like that just to have say that, yes, I'm a professor of molecular science and biotechnology. Makes you sound like you're pretty badass, doesn't it? Holmes says plastic coatings that absorb light could be cheaper and easier to process than current silicone-based solar technology. Silicone wafers are really hard things to grow, he says. You've got to make assembler. You have to assemble arrays and lots of little bits. This stuff we could coat a football field with. You know, that's what you got to love about Australians, you know? They could get really technical, and they could get really finite down there with the nanites, but they're like, nah, let's get a spray, and we'll just coat entire buildings with this shit. Hoorah. The work builds on Holmes' previous research at the UK at the University of Cambridge. Wow, this guy's like international super scientist guy. On light-emitting polymers, which are now used in electronic devices such as flat-screen monitors and TVs and computers. So, buddy is not dumb. This invention relied on the earlier discovery that plastics can conduct electricity under certain circumstances. Again, hot. Holmes and colleagues made a semiconducting polymer by sandwiching a thin polymer between two metal electrodes. As electrons flow through the polymer, it fluoresces, giving out light of different colors depending on how the polymer is tuned. Very cool. The paint on solar panel idea is based on reversing the process. If you can get light out, then you ought to be able to put light in and get electricity out, says Holmes. Now think about this. What he's talking about here is he's talking about solar-powered paint. He's talking about crap that you could spray on, like some sort of a textured polymer coat that you spray on, and all of a sudden you've got the ability to generate power. Now, obviously, you start planting this on skyscrapers, on your roof, on buildings, on things in your yard, on your car. I mean, think about it. If you were to do this and put this on your car, dead batteries would be a thing of the past. Granted, you may have to leave your car in the sun for 2 days or 3 days, but after 2 or 3 days, the car should be able to turn the dead battery over. You see what I mean? It's a very, very cool concept. Furthermore, maybe since we've got all these street lamps, think about how many things exist inside of a city that nobody really has ownership of or nobody does anything with. For example, let's say on top of every street light in North America, you were to put a 3-foot by 3-foot, just a 1 meter square patch of something flat and plastic, something that would stand up to the weather. I don't know, some 3-foot by 3-foot, either, you know, scrap metal, regurgitated, whatever, but, you know, a panel, and you paint this stuff on top of it. So on top of every single street light, above the light is this polymer stuff that generates power. You put it on every street light in America, and what do you suppose is going to happen? What do you suppose is going to happen? Well, that's going to generate some power, isn't it? That's going to generate a lot of power during the day, especially during the summer months and stuff like that, and it will take the load down. That's great. This is an opportunity for energy to exist. Very, very cool. And for those people who live out in the desert who've got a couple thousand acres where they can just throw up, you know, any kind of signs they want and paint it all up, I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to be very interested in this. You guys make sure you monitor this, man, because this is a very cool concept, and it's exactly the kind of things that certain evil parties would like to suppress. Now, in weird science news, this is kind of an interesting thing for all us wogs being navigation-minded. Canada, yours truly's nation, is saying goodbye to the North Magnetic Pole as it drifts into international waters. The magnetic pole usually moves about 10 to 12 kilometers per year. I didn't know this. But about 20 years ago, it sped up by about 40 kilometers per hour. Wow. Scientists say Canadians may need to adjust to the fact that our pole is now headed straight towards Russia. And this is the things that, you know, causes magnetic declination and stuff like that for all you hardcore compass junkies out there. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a blow to the Canadian psyche to have it move off of Canadian territory, says Larry Newitt, the head of the Natural Resources Canada Geomagnetic Laboratory in Ottawa, which measures the pole's location earlier this year. But at least for the immediate future, it will be closer to Canada than to any other country. Like that matters. Hewitt says the pole should reach Russia by 2050. Ooh, the same year we're starting to upload. But there is a possibility it will slow down or even turn around and come back. The North Magnetic Pole is thought to have been the Canadian jurisdiction since the 1600s. The North Magnetic Pole is an invisible point where the force of the Earth's magnetic field is directed vertically downwards. Now, I don't really understand what the deal with magnetic north is. For a long time, I thought it was just there was this huge, you know, magnetic or iron ore deposit in this one chunk on the planet, and that's what all the needles pointed to, you know what I mean? But apparently not. No, the whole thing kind of drifts around. Very, very strange. Magnetics are one of those kind of fields that I'd like to learn a lot more about because they're very, very cool. I don't know much about them, but they're very, very cool. And I think that since we are electrical beings, really, we have an electrical current that runs through our body. And since electricity is really the energy of mankind, that's what we use. That's what we use in our computers, on the internet, and everything. Magnets, well, of course, are use, electricity to function. So I think that magnets might have something in line, like what this whole magnetic energy is. I think that has something to do with the stories I was talking about earlier with the soul and machines. We're going to have to find out what that balance is and how that all works before we start, you know, really seriously doing consciousness transfer into the box. Because at that point, we could actually choose to evolve ourselves into a whole new life form. And that is sexy. Now, in brain booster news, this got sent in to me by Dead Code. U.S. scientists say that we've duplicated the generations. Now, this is hot. U.S. scientists say they have duplicated the generation of new adult brain cells in the lab in a controlled way. So that means that now they can create adult brain cells. These are the things that they could not create because, you know, everyone makes a joke, oh, it killed another 25,000 brain cells. Well, they can make them now. It is hoped the technique tested so far on animal cells will eventually allow scientists to produce a limited supply of a person's own brain cells. Oh, fucking K. Of all the cloning technology I've seen, this is the coolest shit yet. The researchers believe they could potentially be used to treat disorders like Parkinson's disease and epilepsy. And Sean believes that he could use it to boost his mind. The study by the McKnight Brain Institute is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This is not the first time that immature stem cells have been manipulated in a laboratory to become brain cells. This is why stem cell research is really, really hot. But the researchers say nobody else has replicated the process for cell maturation that goes on in the brain in such a complete and close step-by-step detail before. Now, this is, of course, look how smart we are. However, a leading British expert has stressed the importance of not hyping the potential of work in this field. Oh, really? The researchers harnessed a technique which has already been used to produce adult blood cells outside the body. Great. They collected immature neural stem cells at a primitive stage of development from mice and used chemicals to induce them to mature. So they started with neural stem cells, and then they used chemicals to mature the stem cells. During the process, they snapped images of the cells every 5 minutes using a special microscope. This enabled them to create a short film showing the cells developing stage by stage into fully-fledged adult brain cells, which are, of course, neurons. They were also able to track the physiological advantage changes that take place during development in closer detail than ever before. So, what does this mean? This means that I go to South Korea. I go talk to the wonderful people over there with my stolen credit card and bank accounts, and I say, how are you doing? I would like to grow me some brain cells, please. And so they clone them, and they get some stem cells cloned for my brain. They're the same kind of brain cells, so I know it's going to be compatible, right? Then you take that, and you mature them to your proper appropriate age, wherever you want to be. And then you inject them into the brain. And now at this point, it gets a little fuzzy. What would happen? Would these neurons just kind of float around, or would they attach to the brain? Is there a way to insert them in? Because if we don't have to make synthetic brain cells, we can make natural brain cells and replace our damaged brain cells with that. You could stay psychologically young forever. Now, the problem is, of course, that as your body degrades, it'd be like being 17 inside of a, you know, an 80-year-old's body or something like that. And that's why the machine becomes more and more important. It becomes more and more important for us to make sure that we can, in fact, transfer our consciousness. But that is a very, very cool step to be able to take. Now, kicking it down a notch here, in child bomber news, Travis Bean, a lanky 17-year-old Canadian, was let out of a Pennsylvania juvenile courtroom in handcuffs and shackles yesterday after he was found guilty of uttering a terrorist threat against his high school. He was guilty of uttering a terrorist threat against his high school and possessing the explosives material carried out. Okay. Now, understand that anything in your sink can be made to explode, okay? But in the case that sparked nationalistic commentary from both sides of the border, juvenile court judge William Bean, no relation to the accused, who's also the last name of Bean, Judge William Bean said he was persuaded that the teenager has scrawled a bomb threat on the bathroom stall at his Bucks County High School 2 weeks ago. So the kid goes into the shitter, writes, fucking, I'll blow up this school on the wall because, you know, he's upset. The judge also found that Mr. Bean, described by his family's friend as an intelligent, kind, and polite, has accumulated incendiary materials with the intention of building a bomb capable of damaging property or people. Well, you know, every kid plays with fireworks, all right? He wrote on the shithouse wall, "The kid has not done anything wrong. Having already spent 10 days in a juvenile detention center, Mr. Bean was returned to custody for up to 20 days pending disposition, which could range from being jailed until the age of 21 to some form of payroll and psychological intervention." Let's hope he gets parole and psych shit. "I don't know what I have in front of me," Judge Bean said after issuing his decision immediately after lawyers and final arguments. "I want to find out what makes Travis Bean tick and what's the appropriate way to deal with this situation." Bucks County District Attorney Dan Gibbons described the teenager as a pretty dangerous kid. Yeah, okay. She said he's been arrested previously for making and selling napalm and for shooting paintballs at passing cars in his neighborhood. Okay, so you've got an angry kid here. Making and selling napalm. Is that napalm trademark, or was it just simply some styrofoam chips and gasoline? Or was it soap and gasoline? Miss Gibbons said his motive for bomb threat was not unclear, so he has no motive. However, she added that the Newfoundland native, he moved to Pennsylvania with his parents 8 years ago, made anti-American comments to his classmates. Well, no shit! The kid's obviously disturbed. The kid's obviously got problems. He's angry. He's angry with the world. He's angry with the world around him because he knows the world is shit. He's angry with society. He's angry because everyone is telling him that what he thinks, what he feels, what he wants is wrong. He has no method of expression. No wonder he's pissed off. Poor bastard. In American dictator news from No Delete, oh my God, a House bill has been introduced that would change the 22nd Amendment and enable George Bush to remain president for the rest of his political life. The bill would repeal limitations on a president holding office for a maximum of 2 terms. An even darker scenario, Arnold Schwarzenegger is elected as president in 2008, and shortly after the 22nd Amendment is abolished, making the Hitler admirer our permanent Führer. And this is obviously slang to, you know, nail down Arnold, but I don't think foreigners should be the leader of a country, but anyway. This is the modern-day version of the Enabling Act, which allowed Hitler to officially declare himself a dictator. The bill, which can be found at the Library of Congress website, goes on, and you can read it from the link off of the link on my live journal. So, this isn't anywhere. I hope that this bill does not pass, but bear in mind, this could happen, and if that does happen, well, you know, King George has got this all wrapped up. George will either get himself in. If he can't get himself in, worst case scenario, he'll. If he can't do that, then he'll keep the war up, because as the war's up, he'll declare himself so they can't have an election because of the war. And in worst case scenario, they'll do what I think they're going to do and put Jeb in office. You know, until Jeb can have a kid and keep that going. And eventually we'll try to, you know, breed the Bushes out. I don't know what the hell we're going to do with that. And a daily hack today. Hacking OnStar. Sam, you paying attention here? The OnStar system is becoming more common as GM installs it by default in many of their vehicles. At the heart of this system is a GPS receiver manufactured by Motorola called Encore. Once you make a serial connection to the Encore GPS, you can receive real-time positioning information on your laptop or PDA in either Motorola's proprietary but well-documented format or the standard NEMA format. Now, this is cool because I don't think you need to pay for it. So if you happen to have an OnStar that, say, you've decommissioned, you can then use this particular technique to just utilize the technology you've righteously purchased to, you know, get around the whole thing. I think this is a very cool concept for those of us out there with OnStar. That's going out for you, Sim. Have a quick look at that. So I know you know some people that may have OnStar, and you could pass this on to them. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, Allen, Druid Y. Simmeru, The Greg Rose, Drake, Weblight, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Brandon. Thank you so much for your donations and the new subscribers this month. The support element who showed up to bail us out were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you very much. And if you would like to keep to help with it, if you want to give us money, go to Rant Media, click on the donate tab. But believe me, every little bit helps. But don't starve yourself, okay? And special thanks to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album, Male or Female. Okay, that's the name of the artist, is Male or Female. They have a series of this kind of stuff. And the album is called Recalled Moments. It's got 3 dots before Recalled Moments. So it's like dot, 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 Recalled Moments. And I'm going to send an Everlast track, So Long, out to Travis Bean. I'm sorry we failed you, man, and I'm sorry that you got caught up in the machine like this. But for what it's worth, I understand. Until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
How to use it, taught him hunting and skinning right from the beginning, built himself a mighty fine killer, for sure they got picked on, beat on and kicked on, and all his classmates wanna punk him, so with tears in his eye, we catch him in the ride, told his old man he went hunting, and he felt so free, like his destiny lay somewhere out on the horizon. His heart went cold, he felt 100 years old. I started pulling back on the trigger. I think I'm gonna die today. Everyone that hurt me is gonna pay. How can such a short time feel so long? How can such a young Fear me, life deadly, 'cause I'm seriously disturbed. That's my word, my way to my mother. Wait, my brother, another one to play sucker. 'Cause I ain't the one put shade in your sun and took all your shine. Watch me get mine, feel my love burn for my sins. Watch the world turn, the saga begins. Saga's losses and wins. Top, head up from here. Don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. I can't hear a sound, laughter or a pound. I came to get down, I came to get dirty. I came to get even. I think I'm gonna die today. Short time feels so long. How can such a young life go so wrong? I think I'm gonna die today. Everyone that hurt me is gonna pay. How can such a short time feel so long? Mama, don't cry. Mama, don't cry. You did nothing wrong.